Good evening, my smutty, dirtier readers. Welcome back to another episode of Smutty Unprintable Vulgar, the darker romance novel review. And tonight, we're going to be reviewing a vintage classic. Yes, it's not that much of a vintage, but when we consider how often romance books get published and how fast we go through them, I would consider this one a kind of an older, to me, a classic. And I'll talk about why it is today. In the world of mainstream romance novels, this specific type of novel is not considered a dark romance. So you might be asking yourself, why is she reviewing it tonight? Well, this book is, I think, a very secretly dark romance novel. It has the elements of a dark romance. However, it hides under a really consensual story, but there's elements of it that is kind of iffy. But I love the writing for this so much that I read it a while back, and then I found it in boxes that I had in my garage, and I was cleaning up some stuff, and I reread it this weekend. Oh my goodness, it was a great treat to experience that. And tonight's review is going to be of Judith McNaught's Perfect. Yeah, that's what it's called, and it is Judith McNaught. And if you have not heard of Judith McNaught, she is awesome. And I don't know, honestly, if she does come up with any books, again, because I read mostly romance novels that are on the darker side. I don't know if she really does still publish any. But I tell you what, she deserves a hardcore review tonight, and we're going to give it to her just perfectly. So let's start by giving you a little bit of background information on the story. And it starts off with two main characters that we're talking about tonight, and it's Zachary Benedict and Julie Matheson. And this is told in the third person omniscient point of view. So you really get to hear what both of them are thinking, or read it more like it. So it is a lovely start already. You've got Zachary Benedict, who was convicted of murdering his wife and was sentenced to prison. And he was serving time in prison when he decided to escape. And so he was a famous movie star and made plenty of movies. Now he meets Julie Matheson on the day he escapes from prison, and he takes her as hostage. Julie Matheson happens to be a teacher. Not only that, friends, she's such a do-gooder, that one. She's a minister's daughter, as well as a sister of a sheriff. And she comes from a very small town. This is important for you to know because it'll lead to what happens later. And so he takes her hostage while using her car as well. And they drive to try to go to a location where it's kind of in a rural area. It seems like a really beautiful place. The whole time she's really fighting in there, and she's kind of struggling at first, trying to run away, right? Trying to bring attention to this whole thing. But then something starts to happen within the struggle. She realizes something very odd about this Zachary. He doesn't seem as perhaps good at being a criminal, right, as he might claim to be. And I think that's where we start to develop those characters. But that gets me to our next criteria, which is, if you've heard me from the last episode, it starts with my review of the character development. Now, if I can tell you one thing that you need to read this book for, it is because you're going to fall in love with both characters. I mean, she does an amazing job at making you really fall in love with these two characters. You really get to feel them. They're very colorful, dense with life, and believable, very believable. We can relate to both characters. I can put myself in Zachary's shoes and think of what it would be like to be a convict. And she does that well as relating to our do-gooder nature within that Julie Matheson really stands up to. While in the beginning, we see Julie Matheson really struggles. And I mean, she's helpless and she's definitely perceived as a victim. However, you can tell that her need to not show that she's victimized or helpless is really there, right? Even with the fear. So I think Judith McNaught really does a great job at giving us this development of Julie from being such a do-gooder, getting into a situation where she has to turn a little bit more bad, right? And to question and challenge her own old beliefs about what love and life is about. You know, I like seeing that openness that Julie develops and blossoms into. And you'll really love reading this book because the character, for me, the character development is probably the primary meat and potatoes of this whole book. It's just worth reading for that purpose as well. I'll get to the sex part too, of course. But when it comes to character development, my score for her is 4.5 out of 5 stars, filthy, smutty stars. But you guys will agree with me if you can actually track this book down and find it. Oh boy, you will not be disappointed. I really love it. Very sexy. Now, when it comes to seeing the layers being peeled, you know, for the character Zachary Benedict, you could see the layers being peeled slowly in his personality, in his vulnerability with Julie. And you can definitely fall in love with this as he gives a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And he's protective, very alpha, very sure of himself, experienced sexually. We like a guy like that, don't we? And so you'll like Zachary if you're a fan of all what I just said. He is hard to miss, I tell you. Yeah, 4.5 out of 5. Now, the next criteria, which happens to be one of my favorites, is the foreplay criteria. Also, again, this is going to be out of 5 stars. And I gave it a 4.5, but let me explain why. Even though this is not the darkest book around, friends, really. I mean, it's not going to make you cringe or anything like that, especially if you're an avid dark romance novel reader. But it's so well written, you just can't help it. It's just filthy. But I'm going to read a little quote for you so this way I can demonstrate to you the kind of foreplay that we got here, okay? But first, before I get too excited and start reading off quotes or part of the book, I want to make sure to give you a little bit of background in this area. Zachary had taken Julie to one of Zachary's friend's place. I don't remember. I think it was maybe his lawyer's place, but to hide out. And it's in the middle of nowhere and there was a lot of snow. And so she's kind of trapped there. They kind of learn to grow on each other. You know, I think Zachary at one point makes food for her. She tries to run away, but he brings her back. So things are starting to heat up between them. They're having dinner one night and she doesn't really tell him this yet, but she's actually a virgin. And so she's 26 years old. She's very nervous about the whole thing. She doesn't want to be in a one night stand or be the first woman that Zachary Benedict had sex with because he's just horny coming out of prison. And that's in her mind. That's what she thinks that he wants, is just that. And don't get me wrong, I think that's what Zachary wants too, but they're starting to talk a little bit more. Vulnerabilities are starting to show and interest in each other starts to show because they are so different. He's never met a woman like Julie before because he's surrounded by women that are kind of jaded. Think of sex as a means to an end, while she is kind of sheltered, just very bold, truthful, doesn't need to manipulate or lie. And I think he genuinely finds that arousing. Okay. Now in this scene, it is kind of in the beginning of the story where he first kidnaps her and she's trying to run away, but he's aiming a gun at her and they get caught by, I think, a truck driver. And this is what happens. "I'll kill him if he gets any closer," he bit out, tightening his grip on her hands. "Damn you. Is that what you want? Does somebody have to die for you?" Julie whimpered, unable to speak, and shook her head, her eyes clenched shut, unable to bear the sight of her captor, unable to endure knowing she'd come within a few feet of freedom, and all for nothing, for this, to end up on her back in the snow with his body crushing her, her hip throbbing from her deliberate fall from the blazer. She heard his swift intake of breath, the furious urgency. "He's walking over here. kiss me and make it look good, or he's dead. Before she could react, his mouth crushed down on hers. Julie's eyes flew open, her gaze riveting on the truck driver who was cautiously walking around them, frowning as he tried to peer at their faces. God damn it, put your arms around me. His mouth was imprisoning hers. The gun in his pocket was jabbing into her stomach, but her wrists were free now. She could struggle, and very possibly the truck driver with the jovial face beneath a black cap that said Pete on it would see that something was very wrong and come to her rescue, and he would die. Benedict had ordered her to put her arms around him and make it look good like a puppet. Julie moved her leaden wrists from the snow and let them drop limply on her shoulders. And when she could not make herself do more than that, Zach tasted her stiff lips beneath his. He felt her body, rigid as stone beneath his weight, and he assumed that she was trying to gather her strength for the next moment when she, with the help of three truck drivers, would put an end to his brief freedom and his life. From the corner of his eye, he saw the driver slow down, but he was still coming toward them, and his expression was growing increasingly cautious and skeptical. All this and more raced through Zach's mind. In the space of 3 seconds, they laid there, pretending unconvincingly to kiss. In the last helpless effort to stop this inevitable from happening to him, Zach dragged his mouth to her ear and whispered a single word he hadn't let himself use in years. Please. Tightening his arms around the rigid woman, he said again with a groaning urgency he couldn't suppress. Please, Julie. Feeling as if the world had suddenly gone insane, Julie heard the plea wrenched from her captor as if it were torn from his chest a moment before his lips seized hers and he said in a tormented whisper, I didn't kill anyone, I swear it. The pleading and desperation she'd heard in his voice were eloquently alive in this kiss, and it accomplished what his threats and anger could not. It made Julie hesitate and waver. It made her believe that what she heard in his voice was truth. Dazed by the confusing messages racing through her brain, she sacrificed her immediate future for the safety of a truck driver. Driven by the need to spare the man's life and by something less sensible and completely inexplicable, Julie blinked back the tears of futility, slid her hands tentatively over Zachary Benedict's shoulders, and yielded to his kiss. The moment she did, a shudder ran through him and his lips gentled. Unaware of the footsteps crunching to a stop in the snow, Julie let him part her lips, and of their own volition, her fingers curved around his neck, sliding into the soft, thick hair of his nape. She felt his swift, indrawn breath when she tentatively returned the kiss, and suddenly everything began to change. He was kissing her in earnest now, his hands shifting, sliding over her shoulders, and then burying in her wet hair, lifting her face closer to his hungry, searching mouth. A man's bewildered Texas drawl called out, Lady, you need help or not? Julie heard him and she tried to shake her head, but the mouth that was slanting fiercely over her now had robbed her of her ability to speak. Somewhere in the back of her mind, she knew this was only a performance for the driver's benefit. She knew it as clearly as she knew she had no choice but to participate in the performance. But if that was true, then why couldn't she at least shake her head or open her eyes? I guess you don't, the Texas drawl said on a lewd chuckle. How about you, mister? You need help with that? What you doing? I could help you for a bit down there. Zach's head lifted just enough to break contact with her mouth. His words husky and soft. Find your own woman, he joked with the driver. This one is mine. The last word was breathed against Julie's lips before his mouth touched hers, his arms sweeping around her, his tongue sliding tentatively across her lips, urging them to part. His lips hard and demanding against hers. With a silent moan of surrender, Julie gave up to what became the hottest, sexier, most insistent kiss she'd ever tasted. Now, we love this scene because it's so subtle. It doesn't have to be straight pornographic for us to get the arousal aspect of it. You know, I think Judith McNaught really does a really powerful interaction between two people in a very intense moment, brings danger into it, brings desperation into it, and it's just sexy and arousing. Now, there's other scenes here and there that might add to the foreplay, but I do give it a 4.5 just because it's not the amount of foreplay that's occurring here, but it's really the way it's written, the angsty, intimate way that it is written. And trust me, it's just kissing, but because of the story and how it plays out, you get really into the kissing part. It becomes very sexy and seductive for you. And so, yeah, although it's kissing, man, I can appreciate that, you know, no nipple pinching or, or whipping, you know, on somebody's backside. You know, it's just a simple kiss. What's more arousing than that? What's more intimate than that? It simulates the sexual penetration, doesn't it? Nothing better. Okay. Now, let's go into the darkness level. Now, this should be really quick because I give it a 2.5 out of 5. This is not a dark book. It is, in some cases, becomes consensual, clearly consensual. But there is a scene that tips over. It's probably my favorite scene in the whole book. I mean, the way Judith McNaught did that scene, oh my goodness, it does something to me. Because Julie is a virgin, they attempt to, or she attempts to let him know the first time that they have sex. And that's a pretty exciting scene there too. It goes straight into business because he, of course he can't hold it any longer. The guy hasn't had sex in a while. He's been in prison. I don't want to spoil anything for you, but I think you should read that part. The first experience that they have, or that she has, her virginity taken, would be something for you to read. Now, the next part is the actual sexual criteria. You know, what I call this, the hotness or sex scenes level. I gave that, let's see, where's my card? I gave that a 5 out of 5. And because it's just one scene in particular that I really wanted to read to you guys tonight because it's just so sexy. After the first time they have sex, you know, emotions are intensified. Now they're becoming vulnerable with one another. And she gets into a fight. She says, you know, I have the right to know. I don't remember what it was, but she says, I have the right to know. And he's like, you've got rights? What rights do you have? Right. And so he's upset and she's upset. And she, you know, she kind of tells him, yeah, of course I don't have any rights. I'm nothing to you, basically, after they just had sex or what have you. So this is the scene that involves this fight. In his own bedroom, Zach pulled off his sweater, trying to calm down and forget the scene in the living room. But the effort was futile. Her words hammered in his mind, more agonizing each time he remembered the contemptuous look on her face when she called him a coward and a murderer. During his trial and imprisonment, he inured himself against feeling anything, but somehow she's gotten under his guard. He hated her for that and himself for letting it happen. Flinging the sweater on the bed, he stripped off his pants. It hit him then, the only plausible explanation for her ridiculously volatile reaction to what he'd said in the living room, and he stopped cold in the act of dropping his trousers on the bed. Julie thought she was in love with him. That's why she thought she had rights. Where he was concerned, she probably thought he was in love with her and that he needed her. Son of a bitch, he swore and flung the trousers onto the bed. He didn't need Julie Matheson, and he sure as hell didn't need the added guilt and responsibility for a naive small-town school teacher who didn't even know the difference between sexual desire and that nebulous emotion called love. She'd be better off if she hated him, and he'd be better off too. Much better off. Julie was dismally contemplating what to do tomorrow if he reneged on his remark about letting her go when the bedroom drawer abruptly opened and Zach strode in, naked. What do you want? She demanded. That question, he mocked, sweeping the comforter off of her, is almost as asinine as your decision to sleep in this bed because I won't come to heal. Infuriated by his obvious intention to sleep with her, Julie flung herself to the opposite side of the bed and scrambled out of it. Trying to bolt diagonally for the door, he caught her as she rounded the foot of the bed and pulled her against his bare chest. Let go of me, damn you! What I want, he informed her, belatedly answering her original question, is the same thing you want every time we look at each other. Flinging her head back, Julie stopped struggling, gathering her strength for her next move. You bastard, if you think of raping me, I'll murder you with your own gun. Rape you? He repeated with icy scorn. I wouldn't dream of it. You'll beg me to make love to you in 3 minutes. Julie struck just as his mouth seized hers, bringing her knee up hard. She aimed for his groin and then screamed as she missed and landed on her back beneath his heavy body. Instead of retaliating for her missed blow to his groin by ramming himself into her, which she half expected him to do, she felt his fingers slide into her hair at the juncture of her thighs, probing very lightly, starting to massage and caress with familiar, unerring skill. He wasn't going to force her, Julie realized. He wanted her full cooperation, and if she gave it to him, it would be far more damaging to her pride than being a helpless victim. Her body was already responding against her will, and she was so furious with herself and with him that she actually tried to force him to finish the act. Get it over with, damn you. His answer was a whisper as cold as his heart. Why? So you can call me a rapist as well as a murderer and a coward? His fingers searched deeper, moving. Not a chance. His mouth closed over her nipple, tongue circling, lips tugging, and Julie swallowed a scream, a furious protest. She bucked her hips beneath his hand, and he laughed softly, sliding his fingers deeper inside of her so that she wrote it. She stopped abruptly, tensing every muscle in her body to resist what he was doing to her. And in silence, he forced her treacherous body to betray her, his eyes watching her face every moment of the time. You're soaking wet, he said. Not even the calculating heartlessness of what he was doing to her could quell the quick, piercing stabs of desire already beginning to jolt her. Do you want me, Julie? She wanted him inside her.
She wanted the climax she knew he could give her so badly she felt like she was going to die. Go to hell, she gasped. I am in hell, he whispered, moving his body up along hers, and for the first time he kissed her, forcing her lips to part. Abruptly, he gentled the kiss, his lips moving on hers with melting hunger as he slowly moved his hips, forcing her into vibrant awareness of his rigid erection. Tell me you want me, he coaxed. Trapped beneath the exquisite promise of his aroused body and the driving persistence of his mouth, her own body began to shake with uncontrollable need, and the words tore out of her tormented sob. I want you. He drove into her instantly, circling his hips hard, driving her to a shattering climax within moments. He pulled out while her body was still racked with shudders and lifted off of her, shrugging free of her embrace. 3 minutes was all it took, he told her.
There you have it. The level of hotness here reached 5 out of 5 smutty stars for me. I enjoyed that quite a bit. I really like Zachary Benedict's relationship with Julie and its slow and very angsty development. It's about trust. It's about desperation. And believe it or not, quite a bit of healing and finding love in the oddest of places. We like reading stories like that. It kind of resets the palate, especially for me. It resets it because I usually read dark romance novels. I mean, it's not all that I read, but it's within the romance world. That's what I read. But it's nice to reset that palate with something like, you know, Judith McNaught's Perfect. It's one of those stories that kind of stays with you. You get to love the characters and feel cozy with them. You know, sometimes you don't want something too dark. You want hope. You want lightness. You do want a little fight, a little conflict, and she gives you just enough, along with some sexy scenes. This story is a happily ever after, and it does follow the hate to love type of trope, which is happens to be one of my favorites, along with any kind of taboo kidnapping scene going on there. So it's a mixture of that, but it's done in a way where if you're just starting out reading dark romance novels and you don't want something too heavy, you just want to kind of dip that toe, feel free to read that one. I hope you can find it somewhere, and yeah, let me know. You can always email me at smutty.unprintable.vulgar@gmail.com, and hopefully you can tell me your feedback on any books that we reviewed here, or you can suggest one for me to look at and read if you have a good one for me to read. All right. Thank you guys for hanging out with me tonight. It was a pleasure. Hope we do it again. Good night, and may your smutty dreams come true.